If you have your Bible, you got your Bible? Okay, good. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. We saw that verse this morning earlier. It's probably one that maybe you memorized, perhaps. I don't know. Apostle Paul says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love, your mercy in our lives. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that we are a forgiven people, that by your grace we are saved. Father, we thank you that you took the initiative. You stepped out of eternity into time in the person of Christ to pay the sin debt. Oh, what a debtor we are, but what glory there is in serving you. Father, you know that we live in a topsy-turvy world, all kinds of things happening all over the place. Lord, we hear those poor folks that were camping this weekend in Arkansas and lost 18 lives lost in this flash flood. Lord, we hear every day, probably on the hour, every hour, about the oil spill in the Gulf, people losing their jobs, all kinds of disaster, all kinds of pressure. So, Father God, as we come this morning, we ask that you would minister to us in a real way in this real world that we live in. Father, help us to lift our heads up, our hearts to you. Father, just for this hour at least, draw us to your throne of grace that we can find the kind of strength that we need and find the help that we need. Individually, Lord, everybody here has needs, different needs, but yet they're needs and they're real. Father, I pray for those who are infirm this morning, for those, Father God, that need a special touch. Be with us now as we look at this scripture. Open our hearts to you. Lord, if decisions need to be made openly and publicly this morning, whether it be that first-time profession of faith in Christ, rededication of life, moving of membership, whatever it might be, Father God, this is your house. We are your people. You move, and we'll give you the glory. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I read a story about a man who was shoveling snow from his driveway. We've all had that experience, I suspect. And two boys came along carrying snow shovels, and they approached him and they said, "Shovel your snow, mister? Only $2." Puzzled, the man replied, "Can't you see that I'm already doing it?" "Sure," said the enterprising young fellow. "That's why we ask. We get most of our business from people who are halfway through, but feel like quitting." Dr. V. Raymond Edmond used to say to his students at Wheaton College, "It's always too soon to quit." I want you to think with me this morning on that one thing. It's always too soon to quit. In June 1955, Sir Winston Churchill, who was nearing the end of his life, was asked to give a commencement address at a prestigious British university. Of course, they were wanting him to encourage the students, to give them some kind of a talk that would send them out in the world, that they'd be prepared to take on the world. You know, one of those uplifting kind of things that commencement speakers are supposed to deliver. At this time, the old British lion's physical strength was almost gone. In fact, literally, he had to be helped up to the podium. He stood at the podium, firmly grasping it with both hands. His head was down, and what seemed like forever, he said nothing. Then, in a kind of quivering voice, not the voice that they had heard many years before, that voice that had encouraged the world, that had brought England back from the brink of disaster, that voice that will never die in history, he lifted up his head and he said this: "Never give up. Never give up. Never give up." And then he kind of haltingly went and sat down. The whole audience was just kind of sitting there, stunned. Then one of the young men, the graduates, stood to his feet and began to applaud. Then the entire congregation arose as one man, and they had just erupted in a thunderous applause. Because you see, here was a man whose life linked his words. What he said, he did. What he said, he lived. And they understood it. During those dark days of World War II, when country after country had been swallowed up by the Nazis, when German armies marched unchecked throughout Europe, Churchill never lost hope. He never gave up. We live in a world bent on destruction, it seems like. We live in a world that we want everything to come to us instantaneously. Our computers must be lightning speed. If we turn that thing on and we push that little button and we have to wait a few seconds, we're calling up Comcast or somebody else, wondering why Verizon is so slow today. We want it now, don't we? We don't like to stand in lines. You know, you go over here after school and you go over here to the Dairy Queen and you're probably going to have to stand in line. Other folks, you know, other grandpas taking the grandkids over there to get an ice cream after school. We don't like that. We get all nervous. We go to the store. You go to Walmart's or Meijer's or Kroger or some of these stores. If they don't have every register in the whole place going, we get upset, don't we? Because we might have to stand there for a few minutes behind somebody else. And of course, you know, what could be worse than, you know, getting behind somebody in the line that says 20 items or less, and you know, because you've counted them, they've got 23 items in that basket. Kyle this morning was showing me that he had an iPod Nano. This thing was about that big, not very big. And he was saying, I can make movies with you. Oh, is that it, Joy? Did you take it away from me in Sunday school or something? Okay. Well, hold it up again. That thing's little. Look at that thing. And he was telling me all that that did. I said, is it a telephone too? He said, no. I said, well, I'd get another one. We want it now. Or we just get upset. Or even worse, we want it now or we just quit. We quit at marriage. We quit at school. Or we quit at shoveling the snow. When we meet the least bit of resistance, we have a tendency to just quit. You know, I think our enemies in the world have come to think of us as a nation of quitters. I think they have. I think they plan their foreign policy, if you want to call it that, on the idea that we're going to quit. We may start good, and we may do all kinds of marvelous and wonderful things, but all we have to do is just hold out for a little while. Just stretch it out a little bit. Just make it be costly in time, if not in other things, and we'll quit. We get tired of it. And we want to pack it up and go home. Well, Dr. Edmund said it's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to quit. It may look hopeless. The obstacles may be great. Yet the answer really is always the same. The great apostle Paul said it. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, at the proper time, we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we don't give up. I remember years and years ago, seeing Grayson here this morning. Todd was a little like that when I was going to school in Matt. And I, you know, I've told you about feeding Matt this blueberry buckle stuff over and over and over again at night and turned him blue. My wife would set this stuff out, you know, what you're supposed to eat. But he didn't like to eat that stuff. But he liked blueberry buckle. And so, you know, instead of squash or peas, and, you know, who would, you know, blueberry buckle, you know, and so he'd be full, he'd be happy, he'd let me do whatever I needed to do for school. But I remember on several occasions, you know, I had work to do, I had stuff to read, had papers to do, had children to watch and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you just felt like saying, I can't do all this stuff. Somebody's got to help me. Well, people were helping me. I just, you know, didn't realize it all the time. But, you know, even in the midst of those kind of things, when I thought, I'm just pressed to the limit, I can't do any more, when I turned that paper in, it was amazing sometimes what kind of score I got. I don't know if they just threw them down the stairs and if they landed on the top, you got an A or something, I don't know. But it was amazing. Don't quit. Paul is giving us excellent advice. He's saying, don't give up. When we get in points of despair, we want to quit. When we get tired, we want to quit. When we feel like we're not getting the help that we need, we want to quit. Just the other day, I was going someplace in the car and heard on the news a young girl who had been in a terrible automobile accident. And they had not expected her to live, but she did. She was totally paralyzed. And then they gave the little soundbite. She was graduating from Harvard University. And when they called out her name, you know. Hey, listen. Lift your hand. Can you do that? How about your foot? Does that work? Can you turn it all about? You know? Hey, I heard a joke about that. Hokey pokey guy. You know, he died. You know, you lift your right foot in, lift your left foot out, turn around, do it all about something. He died, but they had problems when it came to getting him in the casket because you put your right foot in. Okay. Well, listen. There's a danger. There's a danger with when we grow weary. We have a tendency to let it go. That's enough. You know, I read this about Abraham Lincoln years and years ago. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln, I think, is probably considered one of the best presidents we've ever had. Of course, he had, you know, tremendous adversity during his presidency. But historians basically, you know, majority opinion is he was a great president. But, you know, in 1831, he was a businessman and his business failed. 1832, he ran for state legislature. He lost. 1832 again, he lost his job. He didn't make it to the state legislature. He lost his job. He wanted to go to law school, but he couldn't get into law school. 1833, he borrowed money to start another business. And within 1 year, failure. 1834, he ran for the state legislature again. This time he won. Okay. But that year, his bride-to-be died. In 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. He was in bed for 6 months. Didn't get out of bed. Had to be fed. That's depressed. 1838, he ran for state legislator. Lost again. In 1840, he did it again. Lost again. 1843, he ran for Congress this time. Lost. 1846, he ran again. This time he won. 1848, next election cycle, lost. In 1849, since he wasn't in the legislature anymore, he wasn't in Congress anymore, he was out of a job, couldn't find a job. 1854, he ran for the Senate. Lost. In 1856, he sought his party's vice presidential nomination. This is at the convention. They used to have these conventions. Actually, the presidential nominee would come out of conventions as well. But the vice president was also picked by the convention. And he ran for, in his party, vice president, lost. Out of 1,000 votes, he got 100. That'd be disappointing, wouldn't it? In 1858, he ran for Senate again. He lost. 1860, he ran for president. And he won. I think it's always too soon to quit. We just don't know what's around the next corner. Sometimes it might be worse than the day before, most assuredly. But we don't know what God has in store for us. We don't know what the plan of God is in the detail of how God is working that out in our lives. And so we must press on. Paul says, I press to the mark. We must press on. We must press on. It's always too soon to just quit. Have you ever felt like you were alone? Just ever felt that way? Well, I think that that's a common feeling. Many times we feel that way. We're doing something. We're pulling just as hard as we can. We're putting all our energy into something. And it just doesn't seem to be working. And not only that, but the support system that we have around us, they don't seem to be supporting. They don't seem to be encouraging. They're just there. And we're there. And we feel like we're just absolutely by ourselves. But listen, what does the Bible say? God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always going to be right there with you. The Holy Spirit of God is always with us in everything that we do. When God saves us, He gives us that Holy Spirit of God. He seals us unto the day of redemption. He will never leave us. And God has a plan for your life. And He will work it out. Keep working. It's always too soon. God has a great promise for us. He says we shall reap if we don't give up. You know, I read a story about a missionary who was in Turkey. He worked there for 13 years. Now, naturally, you would say Turkey, that's an Islamic country. It's going to be tough sledding there to talk about Jesus. Most assuredly. And it was. 13 years. No one ever came to a Bible study. No one ever came to any kind of thing that he ever had, period. He tried all kinds of things. 13 years. Not one convert. You know what I think? I think Isaac went home. But he kept at it because he thought in his heart of hearts, Lord, you've called me here for a purpose. These people need Christ most assuredly. I can see that and understand that. It's difficult. I'm working. I'm doing everything I know how to do. I'm praying. I'm doing everything I know how to do. Lord, but nothing seems to be happening. In the 13th year of his ministry, finally one guy showed up to a Bible study. In that Bible study, he converted to Christianity. In that year, 1,489 other people came to know the Lord. So it's too soon to quit. Now, you see, if I would have said there was a missionary to Turkey that had nearly 1,500 converts in 13 years, you said that's good. I remember the church that we went to in Niceville, Florida, First Baptist in Niceville, Florida. There was 8 guys that felt like there needed to be a church there in Niceville, Florida. Now, Niceville is about 18 miles from Fort Walton Beach. Just a little fishing village. They met every day for prayer before they would go fishing. Every other week, they would come together, have a Bible study. They did that for about 8 years. No one else ever came. Matter of fact, some of their friends, some of those people that they'd invite, those kind of things, they would tell them, well, listen, what's wrong with you people? People are not interested in that. We don't need that. Yeah, just go fishing. Stop talking about Jesus. You know, catch some shrimp. Stop talking about Jesus. Do the mullet thing. Stop talking about Jesus. But they wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. They wouldn't stop praying. They wouldn't stop meeting because they felt like God's Spirit had laid upon their heart that there needed to be a church in that town. Now, I'll tell you the truth. If I remember right, there was only about 200 plus people in that little town. And so if you got eight of them who are committed Christians, you're probably, that's probably a pretty good percentile. But they felt like that's what God wanted them to do. Had no encouragement for 8 years. Matter of fact, just the exact opposite. People telling them, stop it, quit, give it up. What's wrong with you people? Then in the ninth year, kaboom. They had 100 and something in Bible study. The 10th year, they started a church. Started out with 200 and something in Sunday school. The 15th year, they had about 300 in Sunday school. 20 years later, they had 800 in Sunday school. When we went there, they had 800 plus. Seemed like in the nursery. That was our job. But you know what happened in that eighth, ninth year thing? Nobody could predict that. You know what happened? World War II happened. Eglin Air Force Base happened. Pensacola Naval Base happened. This little sleepy, know-nothing fishing village of a couple hundred folks boomed into thousands. You see, God knew there needed to be a church there to minister to all those folks who were going to be coming to that area. Nobody else could see it. They didn't know why. What if they'd quit? I'm sure if they'd quit along the third or fourth year, somebody would have said, that's about time. You guys have just been wasting your time. It wasn't a waste of time. They had to continue. Because God promises us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, that He'll always be with us. Matter of fact, I think there's a little verse that says something about, I can do all things, what is it? Through Christ that strengtheneth me. You see, whatever God lays on your heart to do, you can do it. Don't ever think that you can't. It may seem impossible. It may seem like the obstacles are way too big to overcome. Most assuredly, as we see, it may seem impossible. But listen, what God lays on your heart to do, He will provide for the way to do it. Now, it may not be in your time. You know, I don't know that God knows anything about instant stuff. Because He has a thing that He likes to get you prepared to do the work of the ministry that He's got you ready for. And He'll do it. Listen, there's one other thing. Not only are these things true, but there's going to happen in the midst of that something that's going to be good for other people. It's going to be a blessing to other people. You'll not know it. You won't be able to understand it. But it'll be a blessing to other people. If you stick with it, if you stay by the stuff, if you continue to teach that Sunday school class, you know, I always say that, but you know, I know that that's true. If you continue to teach that Sunday school class with all those little brats in there, one of these days, somebody's going to come back and give you a hug around the neck and say, hey, you wouldn't believe what you did in my life for Jesus. And listen, you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that. Anything that you do unto the Lord has got a blessing for you. And He's going to bless others through you. He never will let His word return unto Him void. It's always going to come back with a harvest. It's always too soon to quit. I don't know what you got on your mind. I don't know what's, you know, maybe something that seems like an obstacle too big to overcome. I don't know if you're depressed. I don't know what it is. But listen, it's too soon to quit. God is there with you. And it may be tomorrow when the breakthrough comes. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You, Father God, that He didn't quit. all the opposition that came in his life, all the criticism, he did not quit. He went all the way to the cross for us. Father, we love you. We thank you. And you have commissioned us. We're your royal ambassadors. Father, whatever mission you've given us, whatever task it is, help us to not quit. Go all the way for you. Father, even in this service this morning, I pray that your Spirit will minister, lift up, encourage, maybe give a vision. Speak to the heart. Call that heart to a place of service. Father, if decisions need to be made openly, publicly, I pray they'll be done so this morning to honor Christ Jesus, who is Lord. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.